This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
888-1057, the Fan. News from the Nest here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Ravens 9-point favorites at Cleveland this coming Sunday at 1 o'clock. We'll break down the entirety of the schedule as the show progresses. We have more Vinny's film study coming up, by the way, at 1 o'clock for NFL Lunch as we look at the Ravens' offense, which has been high-powered. Cleveland's offense, however, has been the exact opposite of that. Deshaun Watson, he's out for the season. And how about Zach Jackson? We just talked to him from The Athletic a few minutes ago, Vinny. He said Watson's done. That ship has sailed. A lot of money invested in him. So how much dead money? I mean, I'm not a math wizard. I don't even understand my own finances, much less what Deshaun Watson's making in Cleveland. But that's a big old turd burger they're going to have to eat here for the next few years.
Bob, AFC Offensive Player of the Week?
Lamar Jackson.
Yes. Yes, he was. Yeah, Lamar was. NFC, Saquon. Yeah. So, yeah, very good.
All right, back to the question I just asked. Deshaun Watson with Zach Jackson, probably done there in Cleveland.
Oh, no question.
What do they do?
Well, you rebuild. You heard him say they're going to rebuild.
But what do you do with the dough? How do you feel the pain? How do you deal with the pain? Internalize it.
The best way to deal with the pain, Bob, is same way the Orioles did with Chris Davis. Out of sight, out of mind. Just get him out of the building. Get him away. You know, all right, we screwed that one up. Let's move on. And, I mean, for them, if they trade Garrett, you know, and can get like a 1 and a 2 or something like that, then you may be in position, Bob, to get you a quarterback, you know, early in the draft.
So Cleveland's struggling. Looks like Jameis Winston, former Heisman winner, former number one pick in the draft, looks like he'll get the nod. Here's Kevin Stefanski talking about that.
Yeah, Jameis has done a nice job really going all the way back to since he's gotten here, understanding how we operate, what we do. Feel really confident in Jameis as well.
Think Stefanski is... I'd like to hear, like, last week when he was talking about Deshaun Watson in the game. You know, he's probably really excited because Watson's gone, would be my guess. And, you know, probably feels like, you know, when Flacco came in, maybe he gives us some hope. But I don't think he's as smart and as efficient as Flacco would be.
And how does the offense change with Jameis Winston, who's a pocket passer.
Yeah, he can't move around. At least Watson can move around a little bit, maybe. And, Bob, I can't remember if he holds the ball long or not. You know.
I know he throws it to the other team.
Yeah, Watson held the ball
regular
forever.
Bases. Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. But, like we talked about earlier, they've been sacked 35 times. So, if Winston's getting sacked 5 or 6 times a game, then he will throw interceptions.
Well, Zach Jackson also said he thinks it's going to be a closer game than maybe the odds makers have it at 9. It was 11 at one point yesterday, according to ESPN Bet. Still, 9's a strong number for a road team against a division rival. Nick Chubb, not Nick Chubb, that we've come to know and, you know, appreciate and respect because he's had his moments for sure against the Ravens. But if the Ravens get on him early... I mean, they packing up shop and just watching Lamar do some brilliant things and let the Ravens run roughshod all over them. Does the resistance go away if Baltimore's up early and often?
Oh, then I think if they get up early, Bob, and if the Ravens were to blow them out, I think Garrett's gone next week. By next Tuesday, I think he's traded. And they may trade other pieces, too. Have a total rebuild and get as many draft picks as they can get. But, Bob, what do you think? Because you know what kind of tells you about the Ravens' defense, Bob, is the other team wins the toss. And normally what do you do? Defer. What did Tampa do?
They took the ball and marched down the field.
Yep, that means they got no respect for that. They expect to go down and score. Now, we'll see. If Cleveland, they have more faith in their offense. I mean, the 32nd ranked offense. If they win the toss and take the ball, then the Ravens defense, man, they get no respect.
Now, if the Ravens win the toss, for instance, and Harbaugh usually defers all the time.
I'd defer.
Why not go down there and score early?
No, I'd defer. I'd put their offense on the field, you know, and then I get the ball back in the second half. I just think that, Bob, their crowd, this may be their last hurrah, the crowd and everything, and especially, like, I think it'll be loud. I think the defense will play hard. I think the defense will come out jacked up, you know, to try to stop Lamar, Henry, because, you know, Schwartz is challenging them to do that. Offensively, that'll be a totally – the offense may give the game away for Cleveland, but I think the defense is going to play hard.
Now, if you're looking for familiar names for Cleveland offensively, and Jameis Winston's a familiar name. The guy's been around for a while, won a national championship, Heisman Trophy as a freshman, and was the first pick in the draft. But Nick Chubb, Dante Foreman, he's been around for a while, kind of bounced around for a while, but, you know, we've heard of him. Jerry Jeudy, former first-round pick himself.
Yep.
All right. David Njoku.
Yep.
Flourished with old Fightin' Flacco throwing in the football there. Elijah Moore. How about James Prochet in his one catch?
Yeah.
In four games.
And Bob, Jedrick Willis was the first-round pick for them at the left tackle. And then Jack Conklin was the first-round pick by Tennessee, who Cleveland paid. But those guys aren't playing the same as they played when Billy Callahan was there as the O-line coach.
Myles Garrett leads in sacks with four. Za'Darius Smith has four. Another guy that could be on the move here, by the way.
Yeah, Za'Darius. So they'll line him up over McCarry in passing situations to take advantage of his quickness.
It's 88-81-057, the Fan, here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. So, yes, it is Wise Wednesday as well. Jeff's Rebeck tweeting this one out a few minutes ago. Ravens are planning for Keaton Mitchell, who's been sidelined since sustaining that injury last December, to start his three-week practice window this week.
Damn.
That's a quick turnaround. That's 10 months, right? And that was a pretty significant... His knee was bending in directions. Knees don't bend.
Yeah. So 3 weeks. When would that put him eligible to come back, Bob? That would be November... Three games from now, that would be the Pittsburgh game?
Well, the date is, what's today's date there, Nolan? The 23rd. So puts us at 30. I don't want to do all that sort of math. Maybe in time for the Pittsburgh game on
right,
the 17th.
Next three games here, Browns, Broncos, Bengals, then Steelers after that. So that's November the 17th is the Steelers.
Right, and the game that we think is going to be flexed probably out of that 1 o'clock spot based on the schedule for that day. But Keaton Mitchell comes back.
Collier goes down.
But call me skeptical. Is he going to be Keaton Mitchell we saw prior to the injury?
Yeah.
Where he was explosive as all get out.
That's the big question. Bob, they know better than us.
Correct.
Because they see him. You know, we don't see him. If he is, Bob... I mean, you're just taking the number one offense and giving another explosive weapon. I mean, you know, he'll be the kick returner, I would think. You know, Hardy will never be back. Hardy maybe, if that's the case and he's ready to come up, Hardy will never be a Raven again.
Because Justice Hill has done a lot. And he was one of the heroes of Monday's win, so... I would think you got to keep him involved in some capacity.
Here. Oh, Bob, he's helped them win games. And he's their best pass blocker of the backs. So, no, his role will change much. It's just how do you fit in, you know, maybe you put Mitchell in the I don't know. That's for Munkin to figure out, but it's a good problem to have.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. As Vinny said, Lamar Jackson, Offensive Player of the Week for the AFC. Fourth straight week, a Raven has won that honor. It's been two for Lamar, two for Derrick Henry. So they won five straight games. They won four straight Offensive Player of the Weeks. When are we going to get a Defensive Player of the Week?
Oh, we'd love that.
Let's get this thing rolling here. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Let's count some dough next with Buy or Sell and talk about the many sports subjects of this day. And then we'll preview the World Series with Jim Hunter, longtime voice of the Orioles, our colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Got NFL Lunch coming up at 1 o'clock where Vinny breaks down the Ravens offense on film. Well, their quarterback just won Player of the Week, so things must have been going well there. And then Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. His Steelers are tied for first place.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Talk of World Series. Jim Hunter, bottom of the hour. Yankees and Dodgers, Friday night. Jack Flaherty.
Yep.
He's getting the start for L.A. Garrett Cole for New York. And talk about Fernando Valenzuela, who passed away yesterday at the age of 63. And plenty more to do as well before 2 o'clock. But right now, most importantly, Vinny, before the sports subjects, which are plentiful, where's our midweek money? Is that dough by yourself?
Bob, my phone is red. Yeah, and it's big red. It's Nebraska red, big red. The Dow is down 357. S&P's down 44. NASDAQ is down 229. DraftKings down 62 cents. Under Armour's down a quarter.
Didn't Nebraska lose 56-7 last week?
Yes, they
did. That doesn't smell like the big red I'm familiar with. The gum.
Yeah, I was going to say. What was it, Talladega Nights? If you don't chew big red, then F you. Something like that.
With his Domino's pizza and his AW and all the indoor. Yes!
All right. We'll start in college football here. A handful of disappointing teams, mainly looking at those who were in the preseason top 25, but now find themselves below 500. Teams like Arizona, Kansas, USC, and above everyone else, Florida State, probably the most disappointing of all. All of them get a mention here in John Talty's list of the 10 most disappointing teams, but he also includes a 5-2 Ole Miss team. They were preseason number 6 after going all in, since suffering two losses to Kentucky and LSU. Now, losing in overtime to LSU, that's not that detrimental, but the Kentucky one, they're still reeling from that, considering they were 15-point favorites entering that matchup. Still have a chance to redeem themselves. There is a game against Georgia on the horizon. But, Bob, are you buying or selling Ole Miss as a disappointment thus far?
I'm buying that. Jackson Dart was a Heisman guy. Losing to Kentucky when you're a top five, top 16, with all due respect to Kentucky, is unacceptable. Like Alabama losing to Vanderbilt, who's not ranked, by the way. They're trying to take the next step with Lane Kiffin, not be the pesky pain in the ass team, the team that's going to beat the upper echelons in the SEC, which they've been unable to do on a consistent basis. Still got to go Florida State, the biggest disappointment. They were 10th in the country, 1-6. Iwa Agungale, he did not play well before he got hurt. They just lost to Duke for the first time ever. I'd have to say they're numero uno, but man. Ole Miss, based on expectations, and like you said, Nolan, they can maybe still reestablish momentum. Yeah, 5-2. What the hell's the matter with you?
Some prognosticators had them winning the national championship.
Well, they were way off Samsonite.
Well, we've seen a good amount of activity in the wide receiver trade market so far. The deadline is still weeks away. Another prominent name in the rumor mill right now is Cooper Kupp. And I'm not just talking about media speculation or reports of teams reaching out to LA. You hear that all the time. Teams are always reaching out. But is that team receptive? Well, apparently the Rams are. They're making phone calls of their own right now. We know the track record he has, also under contract through 2026. So that adds some value right there. But the injuries over the past few years have led to a decline in production. Buy or sell, Vinny, it's too soon for LA to to sell Cooper Kupp, maybe revisit down the road.
No, I'll sell that. Because the trade deadline's what, November 5th?
Right, I just meant that he's got multiple years left of control. Oh. Why jump now?
Oh, because you got Puka. Sure, you know, yeah. and he's been hurt and he's been older.
He's missed most of the season, yeah, Puka, that is.
Yeah, so let me get draft picks because they've drafted well. So I would move along because Stafford's probably not long for the water either.
You don't like Tutu Atwell? No Tutu?
Tutu?
He's doing all right because everybody else is hurt. But Kupp to the Steelers? How about that one?
No, that thanks. would be.
No, you're down. You're not down with that.
Well, as a Ravens fan,
selling that.
Yes, please sell that. Sell.
Yeah.
All right. Pitching matchups here for the Yankees and Dodgers in the World Series. Both teams have taken different paths to get here, but those matchups, pitching wise, are going to be something to closely monitor. Dave Roberts leaning very heavily on his bullpen, and he was rewarded. They had that long streak. Scoreless streak of innings going there, almost breaking the Orioles record. But their trio of Flaherty, Buehler, and Yamamoto, they'll have to do the heavy lifting as starters. Meanwhile, for the Yankees, Cole, Heel, and Schmidt seem to be their top three guys as starters. But starters in general not going very deep in appearances in the postseason. We've talked about it a lot. Buy or sell, Bob, we won't see a starting pitcher work through six innings at any point in the series.
I'll buy it. We talked about it yesterday. The best starting performance in the entirety of the playoffs was Corbin Burns in a game he lost 1-0. He went eight innings against the Kansas City Royals. It's a new thing, man. Bullpenning.
Yep.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, I'm doing a little bullpenning. You want to come along? Whatever that means. Sure, I'm all in. You got any Mick Ultras there, Nolan? Or Yinglings? We can bullpen all we want. But Jack Flaherty against Gerrit Cole. Interesting matchup. Jack Flaherty in game one against the Mets was outstanding. Gerrit Cole can be outstanding as he was against Cleveland. So we shall see. Nestor Cortez could be back for the World Series too for Aaron Boone.
Well, the Chargers went through a lot of changes this offseason from their coaching staff down to the depth chart. The results so far have been a 3-3 record. Justin Herbert was questioned about the lack of offense. Keep in mind here, the most points they've scored in a game this season was 26, and that was against the Panthers, so not the best competition. Monday night, the other night here, when they were facing the Cardinals, was the first time they even came close to sniffing 400 yards of offense in a game. The quote from Justin Herbert says, "It's a razor-thin margin in this league. We're a couple plays away from putting up a lot of points." LA's offense currently ranks 26th in points, 25th in yards. Buy or sell, Vinny, they won't finish top 20 in either category.
I'll buy it. They really don't have an explosive tight end or wide receivers or really running back. You know, so, I mean, they don't have a lot of weapons offensively. They got the quarterback, and then they got G. Rose offense.
It really is puzzling in hindsight. I mean, they had the contract issues with the receivers that they moved on from. Williams and I'm forgetting
Keenan Allen,
but then they didn't replace him with anybody.
Well, Quentin Johnston got hurt, but he sucked last year. I mean, he had a couple of interesting games. Dobbins got off to the great start, and then he's kind of slowed down. Gus Bus is on the IR, if I'm not mistaken, or at least he missed this week. Hayden Hurst is hurt. I mean, they got the 2020 Ravens offense.
Yeah,
not getting those results.
Except they don't have Lamar Jackson running.
All right, we'll end with this here. The NBA season is underway. A handful of 2021 draft picks are also enjoying their first major payday. Earlier this week was the rookie extension deadline. Among those to put pen to paper on a submax deal, Jalen Green, Corey Kispert, and Jalen Suggs. We'll focus on Suggs here in particular because when he came into the league, probably known more for his defensive poise than his offensive skill set, but last season took a huge step forward, 12 points per game, and his three-point shooting percentage just under 40%. Buy or sell, Bob, that was not a fluke. Suggs will continue to blossom offensively this year.
Absolutely, and we saw it second half of his Gonzaga freshman year. Didn't he hit the half-court shot against UCLA in the Final Four, which was huge there? He's been hurt a lot at the NBA level, and we started to see him pick up the offensive pace. What do you get over $100 million for your Corey Kispert? Corey Kispert is making $100 million. Aaron Gordon just got 4 years for $100-some million. Could I have been 6'8"?
Yes.
With more athleticism. Man, that would have been a nice gig. Just waving a towel at the end of an NBA bench or playing 12 minutes a game and make $20 million a year. I mean, you talk about crazy salaries in baseball and football, but the NBA is where it's at when it comes to the dough. But to answer your question, I'm buying it. Jalen Suggs, when he was coming out, same year as Cade Cunningham, the question is who was going to be the number one pick or whatever it was. And he wound up going to Orlando later in the first round. But yes. All 100 times yes. Orlando, watch out for them, by the way, being a little sneaky team in the East. We'll come back, talk about the World Series with Jim Hunter, longtime voice of the Orioles. He's covered a few of these things, and he's our colleague, most importantly, on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. On the Fan, got NFL Lunch coming up, 1 o'clock. Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens offense coming up as well. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, preview week 8 of the NFL season with him. Maybe get some trade hints as well.
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. What's happening, everybody? Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artist or band, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw is over there. Other side of the glass, World Series starts Friday. Here to preview that and talk about the other baseball happenings on this Wednesday. Longtime voice of the Orioles, he's our colleague, of course, here on 105.7 The Fan with the Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Joins us every Wednesday, Jim Hunter. Jim, good afternoon. How you feeling?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing all right. And we'll start with Fernando Valenzuela. Kind of stunning news. And Vinny and I were talking about it opening of the show. It's like get to a certain age, if you know what I'm saying. Seems like once a week you wake up and somebody you grew up watching, or at least it was a contemporary, has moved on to the next dimension. And Fernando, 63 years old, and tried to explain to the younger listeners what a phenomenon he was, especially in 1981. When you think of Fernando Valenzuela, who did pitch in Baltimore for a year in 93, what do you think of?
Well, you think of the dominance, and you know, it's interesting when you look at all the complete games he had. And in this era, would he be allowed to do that? You know, he broke in at the age of 19 in 1980 as a rookie. And the following year, he made 25 starts and had 11 complete games. He also had 18 complete games the year after that and 20 complete games when he had his only 21 season in 1986. So he revolutionized the Dodgers. In fact, in 81, when he was a rookie, he won the Cy Young Award, the Rookie of the Year, and the Dodgers won the World Series that year. So he certainly was a superstar, especially coming to the big leagues at such a young age. I remember the last time I was in L.A., he was doing Spanish radio for the Dodgers, and I got a picture with Jim Palmer and Fernando in the hallway outside the press box. And one of the nicest guys that I ever met. And it's really too bad to lose him at 63.
Yeah, 5-1 with a 198 earned run average in the playoffs during his career. And his performance in Game 3 of that 81 World Series turned that series around because the Yankees had won the first two games at Yankee Stadium. And also, Jim, as you know, that was a strike year. So 25 starts at a strike year. If that would have been a full season, who knows what he would have accomplished. Speaking of the World Series, for the first time in a while, the top two seeds get in. New York, American League, Dodgers in the National League. Jack Flaherty is going to get the start for L.A. in Game 1 on Friday night. We remember his couple months in Baltimore were not ideal. Let's throw this out, no pun intended. He's going to hit free agency again. The general assumption is, Jim, that Corbin Burnes is going to move on to another destination. You know, and if he does so, you know, hey, enjoy the 1 year, peace out, and have fun making that $250 million you're going to get from Team Unknown. But would you kick the tires at least if you're Mike Elias on a Jack Flaherty-level reunion here?
I don't think they'll go anywhere near him. As you mentioned, Bob, it just didn't work out. And he's been somewhat inconsistent since the deadline trade from Detroit going to the Dodgers. He has pitched some good games, but he's also pitched some clunkers. And if you're going to give a guy big money on the free agent market, you got to have more consistency with that guy. So I don't think there's any way the Orioles would pursue him.
All right, we just talked about this. The series itself, and in particular LA's rotation, which isn't really a rotation, more bullpenning, if anything else. Is bullpenning the new wave here, certainly in October? And could this be sustainable for them against New York, depending on how long this series goes?
Well, there's no doubt about it. The Yankees have the deeper rotation. They could go four or five if they want. The Dodgers, because of all the injuries to their starters, have really had no choice but to go with the bullpen games. The problem with that is, although in the World Series, you do have a day off after the first two games, then they'll play three straight in New York, then another day off. So you give the relievers a chance to get their strength back. But the pitching definitely favors the Yankees in the series. And the Yankees bullpen had a real good series against the Guardians to win the American League pennant. So, you know, I think what it's going to come down to, Bob, if the Yankees hit home runs, they got a good chance to win. That's what they did against the Guardians. They're very efficient and proficient at hitting home runs. If the Dodgers can keep them in the ballpark and try to make them manufacture runs, the Dodgers would have the advantage because the Yankees play for the big inning every inning, and they don't necessarily like to manufacture runs. So if the Dodgers pitching is able to do that, force the Yankees to have to manufacture runs and keep them in the ballpark, I think LA has a good chance.
Talking baseball, Jim Hunter, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. And you mentioned the home runs the Yankees hit. They're among the league leaders all year long. Stan got hot in the playoffs. Soto hit the game winner against Cleveland. Judge is going to win the MVP. But you also had Gleyber Torres got hot in the second half of the season. Volpe, who struggled offensively, he got hot in the playoffs. In L.A., Tommy Edman was the NLCS most valuable player. We know Betts and Freeman, who's banged up, and Ohtani, obviously. But who's an unsung guy to keep an eye on for either team starting Friday night?
Well, I think Volpe with the Yankees because, you know, he won the Gold Glove last year as a rookie. And even though he hasn't had as good of a season this year, he is a finalist for the Gold Glove again. So I think Volpe at the plate. Now, he's one guy that will hit it where it's pitched. He'll use the whole field. He'll go foul line to foul line. So, again, as I mentioned, the Yankees as a group tend to not look to manufacture runs. So if Volpe can help them do that, that would go a long way. And on the Dodgers side, I think it's the catcher, Smith, because you know, he has a good chance. You know, he's a power hitter, but he also puts the ball in play. And I think if he has a good series, that would certainly help the Dodgers out.
Jim, if the Yankees win it, you think Judge is the MVP? And if the Dodgers win it, Ohtani? And I could see Ohtani, you know, liking that right field wall in New York.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, video. With that left-handed stroke he has and that short right field porch at Yankee Stadium, he's going to thrive there. And the Yankees would be best to pitch him away when the series shifts to New York for games 3, 4, and 5 because he can wreak havoc with that short fence. I think you're onto something. You know, obviously Aaron Judge is the Yankees. I realize Soto's had a very good year, but when Judge is hitting the ball, they tend to do very good things. And Ohtani is Ohtani. I mean, he's going to win the NL MVP. Judge is likely to win the AL MVP. And I think each of those players is looking to lead their team in the 7-game series to win the championship.
Jim Hunter, last thing for you, getting back to the Orioles, your thoughts on the offseason so far. Hitting coach is Gonzo, bench coach is Gonzo, now Brian Ebel after almost 40 years in the organization as well. What's the plan here? What's Mike Elias got up his sleeve over the next few months?
Well, it seems to me, and I was stunned when I heard yesterday that Brian is leaving the organization, and I don't think there's any way this was his decision. This was a decision made by Mike Elias. And if you look back at the tenure of Elias since he took over in November of 18, he seems to be parting ways with people he inherited. You know, you look at Terry Crowley, the former hitting coach, Don Long, the former hitting coach. Mike Bordick let go as an announcer and as a spring training infield instructor. It's almost like he's trying to recreate the staff with people that he brings in so they're his people. Brian Ebel's one of the best trainers in Major League Baseball. He's been awarded several times. He joined the Major League staff my first year in 97 as Richie Bansell's assistant, and you couldn't ask for a better trainer than Richie Bansell's. He's one of the best ever in the major leagues. And Brian was with Richie as his assistant until Richie retired after the 2017 season. And Brian has had 7 years as the head athletic trainer. So I was stunned that this move was made. You know, you got to have some consistency in there. And, you know, Ebel is an all-star this year. I mean, that's how much the American League thinks of him and his talents, that he was named to the all-star game. So I was stunned. I really have no idea what they're thinking, other than it looks to me like with all of the people that he's let go, having strings to Dan Duquette and or before, it looks to me like that's what he's looking to do, is reface the franchise, if you will, in his own image.
Who wins the World Series, Jim Hunter?
Well, again, I'm kind of hedging this, but if the Yankees hit home runs, they'll win. If the Dodgers keep them in the ballpark, the Dodgers will win.
Way to go out on a limb. Jim Hunter, longtime colleague here on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, longtime voice of the Orioles. Jim, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the Fall Classic over the weekend, and we'll talk to you next
week. Thanks, Jim.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
There's Jim Hunter, everybody. We'll come back, reset the program for you. NFL Lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. Vinny's film breakdown of that Ravens offense. Lamar Jackson, Offensive Player of the Week. Again, Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. We'll preview Week 8 of the NFL season with him. And we'll look at our picks. We didn't get to it yesterday, but Monday night there were two games. I guess we did okay. I can't even remember. Kevin Stefanski hasn't made it official yet, but Jameis Winston's going to start for Cleveland against the Ravens. And Cooper Kupp, we talked about this during Buy or Sell. He knows he's on the block, and he's down. He's cool with that. It'll be, he reconciled the fact that, you know, his days in L.A. might be numbered.
Well, the thing that's good for him is, you know, right now, what are they, 2-5? You know, somebody trades for him, Bob. He's going to improve a lot in the standings this year, and he's going to have a shot, you know, maybe to go win another Super Bowl. So I think that's a probably win-win for both teams. And I'm sure the relationship that he probably has with McVay, they probably discuss this. And, you know, I want to do what's best for you. You know, you've been good to the organization, and they probably don't have high hopes for the rest of the year, the Rams.
Yeah, they're 2-4 right now. The only team with a winning record in the NFC West, Seattle.
Yeah.
Everyone else below 500. Nolan, we didn't get a chance to visit it last hour. Can we go there now? A little funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Starting with Matt in New Orleans, who says the Ravens secondary has me perplexed. I really think Eric DaCosta needs to bring in a safety. What we have seen the past 7 games is a trend, not a fluke. People say look at the quarterbacks they faced, which is fair, but those are the same caliber quarterbacks you're going to face when it matters most in the playoffs.
Yeah, my gut tells me that they add something on defense, whether it be a pass rusher or a safety. I could see one of those two things, and I think it would give them a boost defensively.
Which would you prefer?
I would almost prefer what type of... I can get by with a lesser safety than, you know, with a pass rusher, I need somebody that's got some juice. Otherwise, safety, you know, I could use a guy that doesn't have to be a Pro Bowler, but, you know, is going to bring some intensity and toughness and stuff to the defense.
Looks like Buda Baker is as good as gone in Arizona, but he's more of a high-ticket sort of guy. But the Ravens aren't going to get a Max Crosby or Myles Garrett. Jadeveon Clowney might be more what fits the bill.
And Bob, to be totally honest, Geno Stone right now would be better than Marcus Williams is playing.
Damn, Marcus Williams. Boy, he's fallen out of favor, hasn't he?
Even when
unless you're the opposing quarterback.
Geno's banged up, too.
So yeah. No,
but he got carted off the field. Yeah.
But I'm saying if Geno was healthy.
Right.
You know, Geno from last year is better than what Marcus Williams is playing. I mean, Geno, he made plays. You know, he hit people. He had 7 interceptions. Marcus Williams, what's he got? A pass defense?
Forget he's out there. They might as well have 10 guys on the defense.
Well, I said that because he's in the stands, basically.
This texter here says, I don't see many ways for the Browns to beat the Ravens, but I guess Jameis is a wild card factor without much recent tape out there. And knowing the Ravens' secondary, maybe he can put up some nice stats. I still don't know if that's enough for them to win the game.
Well, you know, just looking at some glimpses from him playing this week, he runs better than I thought he did. And he is better throwing when he's standing still. If you get him to move, the inaccuracies and stuff appear. He likes to throw deep. He's got a gun. Wants to throw that deep ball. And get him, and he wants to throw from the pocket.
All right, and I got one last one here. A texter says, not really scared of the Chiefs or Mahomes. It's how opposing teams react to them or overreact when they face the Chiefs. Teams tend to beat themselves, shoot themselves in the foot, instead of just playing their game when they're matched up against KC. They aren't even that scary of a team. I think if the Ravens face them again, the Ravens would win handedly.
Well, the thing that you got to think about when you're the Chiefs, people don't give their defense credit. Their defense isn't bad, you know, and you know, that's what's been winning games for them. The quarterback had, and he's got 6 touchdowns, 8 picks. So, if I'm the Ravens, I'm not worried about it. The next time we could see them would be the, you know, in the playoffs at some point, or probably the championship game. But there's a lot of work to be done yet prior to that.
Yeah, Marcus Williams has 2 passes defensed and a fumble recovery.
Oh boy,
I remember the fumble recovery.
But I don't remember the fumble recovery. Which fumble? Where was the fumble recovery?
Who Nate Wiggins, I believe, caused the fumble, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, and he just happened to be standing around the pile.
He was like, "Hey, look at here! There's a football."
He does that well. He's a JLP, jump on a pile kind of guy.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, will come back. We did film study of the defense. Let's talk about that offense next. Led by the new offensive player of the year in the AFC, player of the week, excuse me, AFC, Lamar Jackson again. So Vinny's going to break that down. Then Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, will preview week 8 of the NFL season, which starts tomorrow night here on The Fan.